Turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews, chapter 5, we'll be looking at both the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6. We're looking at the profile of an immature Christian and what an immature Christian looks and acts like. We've looked at the profile of an immature Christian for the last couple of weeks, and we've said that you can tell such a one by four things that we see in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. First of all, you can tell the profile of an immature Christian by his dullness. Look at chapter 5 and verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, speaking of Jesus Christ, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dullness. Secondly, development. You can tell by his development. Look at the first part of verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Lack of development. Thirdly, you can tell by his diet. Last part of verse 12. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Fourthly, you can tell by his discernment. Look at verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, some people may say, yes, that's me, and remain unmoved about it. Complacent and apathetic about it. No big deal. I'm gliding through my Christian life. Nobody seems to know. And so what? Well, let's move on to chapter 6. Verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, many Christians get real nervous when you start reading this chapter, especially when you read verses 4, 5, and 6. Can I lose my salvation? Is that actually possible? And there are some who would teach that. No, you cannot lose your salvation. But there is danger in remaining an immature Christian. So you're saying at the end of chapter 5, no big deal. I can glide along as long as nobody notices. Folks, we're going to look at the price of immaturity this morning, because there's a price to be paid if you remain immature. And the first danger today is in the first two verses. Those are the verses we're going to look at this morning. The price of remaining an immature Christian. Notice the first word of chapter 6 in verse 1. It's the word therefore. And this shows that the writer is building upon what he said in chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. The verses we have spent the last two Sundays on. Now, understanding chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So the writer wants to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Notice, he's not saying we're going to leave the doctrine of Christ. Get this. We're going to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. We never depart from the doctrine. But folks, there comes a point when you get beyond the ABCs of the doctrine of Christ. And that's what the writer here is saying. It is time to leave the ABCs. We talked about that a couple of times already. It's not that you forget them. You build upon them. A child, when he graduates from one grade to the next in school, does not forget the ABCs. He builds upon the ABCs. He doesn't forget what he's learned in math class when it comes to multiplication tables and subtraction and addition. He builds upon the very principles, the basics that he has learned. Now, are those basics important? They're not only important, they're crucial. But if you're going to go on in your Christian life, you've got to leave the principles and not have to keep going over and over those things again. By now, folks, you should know your ABCs. This is the illustration. When it comes to the English language, you should know how to say the ABCs. Need we go through the ABCs this morning to make sure everybody knows them? Do you have a little ditty that you can sing? The A, B, C, D. Okay, you know the ABCs. Need we keep going back to the basic principles of the doctrine of Christ? Because there are those who refuse to move on. You know who causes trouble in the schools? It's those kids who never learned the basics. And because they don't know the basics, you move on to the things that are more beyond the principles. And now, since they didn't learn the basics, they're the troublemakers. You see some application coming here? You get some believers in the church who can never get beyond the principles, the ABCs. And then when the pastor or the teacher starts preaching or teaching on something that they say, I don't understand, everybody else does because they've gone beyond the ABCs, they've learned the ABCs. Then that person begins to be a troublemaker because he never got beyond the ABCs, he's never learned them. So it is important to learn the ABCs of Christianity. It is important to learn the ABCs of the doctrine of Christ. But if you're going to stay on that, you're going to get left behind. And I'm not talking about Tim LaHaye's series. We're talking about getting left behind in your growth as a Christian. It is time to move on, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. A builder does not leave the foundation by neglecting the foundation or destroying the foundation. What does a builder do with the foundation? He uses the foundation to build upon. Here's the problem. These Hebrew Christians had the foundation, but that's all they had. No superstructure. Now, folks, the foundation is everything. In fact, the foundation is everything. In counseling with people, if I am meeting with somebody that I'm not sure about their salvation, I will not go beyond the foundation until I know they have the foundation. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Yes. Tell me about it. And then they must relate to me how they know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. And what it means to be saved. The foundation is necessary before you can have the superstructure. But once the foundation is laid, move on. Start building. You've got to have the foundation, but move on. Leaving now the foundation. The foundation's been poured. It's sturdy. Why? Because it's Jesus Christ. Now begin to build upon that foundation. Somebody who is constantly dwelling on the principles or the ABCs may be doing so for fear of losing salvation. It's like somebody said, it is only natural to think constantly of those things that one is most apt to lose. One who was worried about the foundation never leaves it. As if the foundation is too insecure to support the structure of the Christian life. That kind of insecurity and worry makes the Christian life miserable. You know, a bricklayer wouldn't start building the structure unless that bricklayer was sure of the foundation. What is the use of advancing in the Christian life and making all of the necessary sacrifices involved if you have to live in constant fear that what you build will not stand. If you're unsure of the foundation. So are you sure of your foundation this morning? Are you sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Are you sure of that? Because if you're not, you're never going to get beyond. And you'll never grow. You see, the insecurity of the believer takes away the incentive to grow. Instead, you remain a baby, stationary in growth. That is a price of immaturity. You never grow. Notice what he says. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Next three words, let us go. Actually, let's go on to the fourth. Let us go on. Let us go on. To where? Where do we go from here? Let us go on unto, next word please out loud, perfection. Let us go on to perfection. It's not the word that we think of where you are sinless and you never do anything wrong. It's the word maturity. The writer's been talking about babies and people who never get beyond the milk. And he's saying, come on, let's grow. Let's go on to maturity. And this word perfection is the word that corresponds to chapter 5 and verse 14, those who are of full age. He goes on to say in verse 1, not laying, here we go, again. See, this is what an immature Christian does that we've already seen in chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. You've got to go back to the basic principles again. You've got to lay the foundation with this person again. Not laying again the very thing for which they have been rebuked. Let's go back to the bricklayer again. If there's a few bricks in the building that aren't good, it wouldn't cause me to doubt the foundation. How ridiculous if you find two bricks that are bad to go back and build the foundation all over again. Why would I go back and build it? There's two bricks on the foundation that aren't good. And folks, in the Christian life, there are going to be some bad bricks in the structure because we are not perfect. There's going to be some sin. Let us not think that every time we commit a sin in our lives, we need a new foundation of repentance. You don't need to get saved again. The problem is not the foundation. Your original repentance and belief in Jesus Christ, your salvation, has been laid once for all. That need not be laid again. Not laying again. The foundation of repentance. Now that ought to bring security and joy to your heart. But the foundation of God, the foundation of in Jesus Christ is stable. It is secure. I am in his hand and no man can pluck me out of his hand. So get beyond the foundation. Get beyond the ABCs. Now, I want to go from here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with this in mind. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a passage to which we have referred many times before. And I want you to see 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and following. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul has just used in verses 9 and preceding the fact that we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry. So he's been using farming. He's been using gardening. Now he's going to go on to another illustration in verse 10 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Then he says, ye are God's building. Now notice what he says in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. You take care how you build upon the foundation. The foundation has been laid through the preaching of God's word. Paul had preached the word. He said, I laid the foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. That's what he says, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation has been laid through the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Now, there needs to be taking place upon that foundation a structure, the building. So let's look at verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It'll be revealed. For the day shall declare it or reveal it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Of what sort it is. Of what sort it is. What are you using to build upon the foundation? Is it gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble? What is it? Every one of you, including myself, we are building upon the foundation. What materials are you using? You say, well, I don't understand, because this is some kind of a figurative language. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Well, as you follow this, he talks about in verses 14 and 15, or verse 13, every man's work's going to be manifest because something's going to reveal your works. It's fire. Well, what does fire do to gold, silver, and precious stones? Purifies. It makes it better. What does fire do to wood? Consumes it. Wood, hay, burns it, consumes it. Stubble. And there's the illustration. Here's the figurative language. Sometimes we use wood, hay, and stubble to build upon this foundation. When we stand before the Lord, what's going to happen to that wood, hay, and stubble? It's gone. It's burned. It is worthless. There is no treasure laid up in heaven for that particular thing that you did as a Christian. But the things that I do that count for eternity, laying up treasure in heaven, is the gold, silver, and the precious stones. And he talks about verse 14, if any man's work abide, in other words, it doesn't burn, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, wood, hay, stubble, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He doesn't lose his salvation, but I'm telling you, he gets to heaven and he has nothing. And people will say, well, at least I made it. I'm telling you again, there is a price to pay for immaturity. There is a price to pay for building using the materials, wood, hay, and stubble. There's a price to pay. The structure that must be built is Christian character, a life that God can use and bless. It would be absurd to build a foundation on top of a foundation and to repeat this process and never get on to building the superstructure. A foundation is important to the house, but it is not the house. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning who has no foundation upon which to build. And that foundation needs to be laid. May I lay that foundation out before you this morning? What were the foundational principles that these Hebrews already knew? Let's go to the ABCs, because there may be someone here this morning who can't understand what we're talking about because they don't know the ABCs. This is simple. The ABCs are simple. This is God's simple plan of salvation. May I lay that before you this morning, because I believe there may be some here this morning who are not saved. You have no foundation. Please follow as I, through the preaching of God's word, lay out this simple foundation. I'm going to go to one passage, and if you have your Bible, I'd like you to go with me there, because I want you to know that where I'm getting this is from the Bible. It's not mine. It's what Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 16. Would you listen to the foundation himself? these Hebrew Christians, they already know this. These are the ABCs. But I want to go through the ABCs this morning with all of us so that we make sure that we know this. John 16, verse 8, Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit who would come, and when he has come, he will reprove the world. And it mentions three things: of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Here it is, very simply. Let's look at the word sin. You need to be convicted of your sin. That is your failure. And if you kept your finger in Hebrews chapter 6, go back to Hebrews chapter 6. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. When you know that you are a sinner, you will do what you can to work your way out of that. That's man's natural response. What can I do? Well, what does the writer of the Hebrews call the works? What's the adjective before the word works there in verse 1 of chapter 6? What is the word? Dead. Works are dead. They're no good. Your works are dead. Admit it and turn from it. See, that's the foundation of repentance, from works that are dead. The negative and the positive sides of conversion. I don't lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. When a man repents of his sin, he sees that I cannot save myself. That's the negative side. The positive side is I must trust in him. I must have faith in God. There's the two sides of the coin. Repentance. There's two sides of the coin to repentance. Changing my mind about what I thought would save me, my works, and instead faith in God. Sin, your failure, and when he has come, he will reprove or convince the world of sin. Number two, and of, John 16, 8, righteousness. Whereas sin is your failure, righteousness is your finisher. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our righteousness is not in rituals. It's not in ceremonies. It's not attending church this morning. Oh, I was good. I came to church. That saves no one. It is not in these rituals and ceremonies. Even those Old Testament ceremonies. Look at the passage again. Look at chapter 6 and verse 2 of Hebrews. Of the doctrine of baptisms. Let's not lay again the doctrine of baptisms. Now, when you're thinking of baptisms, you're thinking about this baptistry back here, aren't you? You're thinking, oh, that has to do with being baptized, and that's not important. No, that's not what the writer is saying here. When he is saying, let's leave the doctrine of baptisms, notice that it's plural. Baptisms. Plural because the Jews were familiar with ceremonial baptisms. Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 7. This is what the Pharisees were very interested in. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Note verse 4. And when they come from the market, except they wash. Interesting word, wash, there, because it's the same word baptism in Hebrews 6. Unless they baptize, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the baptizing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. What was it that the Jews were very interested in? They were very interested in the ceremonial baptisms of washing themselves. It was all outward. It was all the pots and the pans and the dishes and the silverware, baptizing those things because, oh, you don't dare eat from a dirty bowl. It was all external. And what the writer of Hebrews hears when he says, let's not lay again the foundation of the doctrine of baptisms, this idea that, you know what? Your salvation has to do with eating out of clean bowls and plates and making sure that everything on the outside is clean and sparkling. What did Jesus say about the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? It's like, why did sepulchers, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but within they're full of dead men's bones? Back to Hebrews 6. Verse 2 of the doctrine of baptisms. Folks, it is not outward washings or baptisms that cleanse us. It is the inward washing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, baptism in Christ is different. I am immersed in his righteousness. And the church had to teach what was different about baptism in Christ. So it's not this outward washing. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, and of laying on of hands. And of laying on of hands. The priest would lay his hands upon the head of the sacrifice. And we know, according to Hebrews 9:22, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, speaking of Jesus, he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Most of that I said for believers, but now for the unbelievers here. Here it is very simply again. Holy Spirit must convict you of sin, your failure. Number two, he must convince you of righteousness, your finisher, that your righteousness is not in yourself, it is in Jesus Christ. And then number three, what's the next thing that the writer of Hebrews goes on to in the last part of verse two? And of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And what's the third thing the Holy Spirit will convince men of, according to John 16:8? And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Your future. Of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Jesus once said in John 5, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It's very simple. If you are not building upon a foundation because there is no foundation today, if your foundation is your good works, the whole structure is going to collapse. If your foundation is having been baptized, if your foundation is having been a good church attender or somebody who has given money to the church, your foundation is worthless. And when you start building upon that, it's going to collapse. The only foundation is Jesus Christ. And you must build upon him. But you must first have that foundation. Let me ask you, has there ever been a time in your life when you were convicted about your sin, of the righteousness of Jesus Christ as the only way to pay for my sin, and of the judgment to come if you don't trust in him for your righteousness? That's the ABCs. And those few sentences I just gave you. All believers must confess this. All believers must preach this. Is this the spiritual foundation upon which you stand? Upon what is your religion based? It's got to be settled before you can build. You can know this in your head, and yet if you do not act upon what you know in your head, you will ultimately be destroyed. Jesus faced some people in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And so forth and so on. And I will say unto you, Jesus says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Jesus said, repent ye and believe the gospel. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Very basic, very simple. Believe in Jesus Christ. You say, well, I believe in him. James 2:19 says that the devils do too, and they tremble. What is the difference between your belief in him and the devil's belief? Anybody can say, I believe in him. Belief is not just saying, I believe in him. Belief is trusting him. I trust him to save me from my sin. I put my faith in him that he died on the cross for my sins. I trust him. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. But I'll tell you what brings rejoicing to his heart is when somebody says, Lord, I'm tired of trying to work my way into my salvation. And I know from the scripture that will not save me. God, I trust you. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So simple. And yet so many false religions today teaching you, here's what you must do. There's two things indicating the price of immaturity. Two things we looked at this morning. Number one, a believer who is immature will keep on doubting his salvation. And he's not able to build upon that foundation. So he's going to stay immature. He is insecure. So insecurity is one price to pay. Number two, the believer who is using the wrong building materials, laying up treasure on earth rather than treasure in heaven. What he sees in his life is so insignificant. That's the second price to pay for immaturity. Insignificance, insecurity, and insignificance. There's two types of people in this world. There's two types of people in this room this morning. Believers and unbelievers. Simple. I could put it this way. Saved sinners, lost sinners. Those whose religion is based upon what Christ did, and those whose religion is based upon what they do. Those who depend upon the righteousness of Christ, and those who depend upon their good deeds to outweigh their bad deeds. Those who put their trust in the work of Christ on the cross, and those who put their trust in their own work in their life. Those who have submitted to the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that your sin plus Christ's righteousness equals eternal life. And those who continue to reject the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that your sin plus your own righteousness simply brings you eternal damnation and the torments of hell. There's a price to be paid for immaturity. Folks, there's an even greater price to be paid for not even having the right foundation. We see the building, but I don't know what's in your heart. And I fear that there are some here who can come here week after week and listen to a sermon and even say, good sermon, preacher. And yet be in your sin, lost, and on your way to hell, because the foundation upon which you are building is not Jesus Christ. It's your own righteousness. I plead with you this morning. Be ye reconciled to God.